This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and thispipelife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing great. It's been quite a day around the Country Squire here. Mail order city past couple weeks here. I think just with International Pipe Smoking Day, a lot of folks are fired up. And I think there's just a lot of activity in the pipe world.
Yeah.
So it's been great.
Well, you know, you've got that, they got the great boom from, International Pipe Smoking Day, which of course was last week. I'm sure that everybody, they got lots of, you get that Christmas money, you get that birthday money, you got to get that International Pipe Smoking Day
money. That's right. Yeah. And we even had some Valentine's this year. You folks get a Valentine's present for a pipe, so that's pretty good.
Has there ever been a heart-shaped pipe, out of curiosity?
You just challenged the entire Country Squire community to provide an answer, so I'm sure we will have that answer shortly.
Yeah, my guess is knowing our live audience is probably before the end of the episode.
If we can get a picture of a reverse mullet stiletto pipe,
that did happen.
We can get anything. I'm just saying.
That's right.
Yeah, the options are limitless.
Oh man! Well, hey, we've got some housekeeping items to talk about here at the top of the show, and that is that we've got some schedule changes coming specifically for the live show.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Now, podcast listeners, this isn't going to necessarily impact you so much, but those of you who do tune in to the live show specifically, next week we will be here at the normal time. Always been here. And with a great show for you. But however, after next week, we are going on a 2-week hiatus. I'll talk more about that in a second, but a 2-week live show hiatus. Now, you will still have the podcast every single week without fail for almost 4 years now. That will continue no matter what.
God, has it been that long?
Almost that long.
God, that's crazy.
It gets crazier and crazier.
We have nothing better to do with our time. More importantly, these poor people have nothing better to listen to.
Hey. No, this is prime quality stuff here.
We do quality
stuff.
Top
shelf podcast.
No, that's it.
But here's the thing. After that 2-week hiatus, we will return with the live show specifically on March 27th. And on March 27th, not only are we returning with the live show, we'll be returning at a brand new time, which is 8:30 Central Time. So it's later in the evening. Hopefully those of you who get off work a little bit later, this will open up an opportunity for you to join us. I know this isn't the first time that we've changed our live show.
That's right.
Recording time. We
used to record in the morning.
We used to be a morning
on
show.
On Tuesday morning.
We used to say, let's go have a day at the end of the show. it was part of it.
Yeah, that's right.
So we originally were a morning show, switched to an early evening show. And so with this new time, we'll be kind of more of a later evening show. And, we definitely apologize if that's an inconvenience to some of you, but hopefully it'll also provide an opportunity for others. John David, you want to talk a little bit about kind of the change?
The reasoning behind that.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't actually announced this yet publicly, so this will be the first time we announce it, period.
Oh, snap. Breaking news.
At all. And that is by the end of the month, March 2017, the Country Squire will be open until 8:00 every night of the week. And of course, we're closed on Sunday. We've always been closed Sunday just as a point of tradition, but traditionally, we've been closing at 6:00, and then we stay open later on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. But there's been such a kind of an after work group that's really developed here at the Squire, folks wanting to come, throughout their week and loosen their tie up after work, come, maybe have a beer or something and smoke their pipe or a cigar here at the shop, throughout the week. And so we have decided to pull the trigger and the shop is going to stay open until 8:00 every night that we're open. And so that's exciting and great. But, because of that, obviously, we had to readjust the time we record Country Squire Radio. We would record it with people here, but it just makes things complicated.
As a lot of variables.
A lot of variables. You got folks coming in and out and noises, equipment that has to be protected and all this kind of stuff. So, I know Bo... Bo works really hard to produce a incredibly professional podcast, and so we want to make sure all that is done well. But the good thing is for our, you know, folks that are around here locally, you'll get to stay at the Squire later on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights until 8 o'clock. And for those of you, you know, that maybe get off work a little later, including folks that are maybe in the Mountain Time Zone or Pacific Time Zone, you know, this might be more conducive to you meeting up with us on a live show.
Yeah.
So it's great. It's exciting. The next step in the old ye old evolution.
Yes, all right, man. Yeah. And from the podcast here to now, we'll be sure to remind you of the time change as we get closer. But again, next week, normal time, regular time as it's always been, we'll be here. After that, 2-week live show hiatus. However, the podcast will still release during that time. And then we return March 27th at the new time of 8:30 Central. Yeah. Now, also, we've been mentioning on the last couple of podcasts that we've got a new episode of our Pipe Culture series coming up.
Yeah.
Where we're going to be talking about archetypes. Now, what I mean by this is when you think of a pipe smoker, think back before you even kind of were part of a local pipe community or, you know, had friends that you were all enjoying the pipe. Think of kind of what that imagery that comes to mind. Who is it that smokes a pipe? What are the archetypes that exist in the pipe smoking community? You know, what, maybe it's an image that you had that as you kind of discovered more that character doesn't necessarily exist, or maybe it validated as you got kind of deeper into the pipe culture, pipe community. We want to hear your stories. It's a great time for us to be able to kind of turn the mics over to you guys and really kind of dive into your experiences and your stories as we look into this world of pipe culture and specifically at this idea of pipe smoking archetypes.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. We always have a great time with these. The feedback, I think, on this ongoing series that we have of pipe culture is always the most prolific. And so we look forward to having you being a very much a big part of this. If I can get any of that sentence out,
it kind of sounded like sentence. There were words, so that is good.
There were words, and I was moving my mouth. So
that's good, man. Hey, something else that's good is that we've got an amazing pipe club. If this is your first episode, you're tuning in. We got the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club that has been growing and growing, and it's been great.
Awesome, man. It's been so encouraging to us.
Yeah, it's been great to see the community grow. Of course, if you go to CountrySquireRadio.com and click on join the club, it'll take you directly to our Patreon page where we're encouraging folks to both become club members and, of course, help the show. It's a great way to help support the creation of this podcast as well as become a club member. And one of the reasons you're going to want to do this is because we're getting fairly close, man. We're over 2/3 of the way towards kind of our first goal, which is once we get to that first goal, it's going to be to unlock, or really open up, I should say.
That's right.
Country Squire Radio Online.
The online lounge. Yeah, man, I'm excited. I really am. I think we're in striking distance of that, and I think once we get there, it'll be a lot of fun. There's so many people that interact kind of through our show, but indirectly already, and this is going to be just a really cool vehicle to develop that much more community.
Absolutely,
so, it's exciting.
So help out. You can join the club at $3 or $5 per episode. You can learn more again at CountrySquireRadio.com. Click join the club. Or go to Patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. All right, man.
That's it. One other announcement.
Yeah.
Of course, here in a couple weeks on March 11th, which is a Saturday, we have the Briarworks Trunk Show here at the Country Squire. What's going to be exciting, Pete Prevost is going to come through town, our good friend from Nashville, Tennessee, a partner in the Briarworks pipe business. And anyway, we're going to have a great spread of pipes. All the pipes will be, actually, we're announcing tonight, 20% off, which will be awesome.
Oh, snap.
Got to work with Pete and was able to come up with just a really bang-up deal for everyone that will be here that night. So it'll be actually that afternoon. It'll be March 11th. From 2 o'clock to 6 p.m. that afternoon here at the Country Squire. I'm sure, you know, typically when we have events like this, folks come from out of town and different parts of the state and things like that. If you are listening and are in drivable distance, mark your calendar. Have some incredible pieces from an American pipe making company that we all know and love, and great deals, 20% off. So,
man,
that'll be good.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I sadly will not be able to
attend.
Yeah,
you're going to be out of town, right?
Yeah, so this is kind of why we're going on hiatus, at least for the live show anyway, for 2 weeks, is that I will be kind of globe hopping a little bit. I will be in, I think that first week, I'll be in Austin, Texas, for South by Southwest. My first time ever going.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be
great. I'm jealous, dude. That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what to expect. I've got, of course, the Austin Pipe Club. I need to actually reach out to Pi Lauren to see if there might be a good time to meet up with the Austin folks, the Austin listeners. But yeah, I'm going to South by Southwest. I think that'll be exciting. And then the following week after that, I'll be speaking in New Orleans, which I think I've mentioned before.
Yeah, that's great.
For New Orleans Entrepreneur Week. And so, yeah, I'm...
It's hard being a big timer.
No, come on, man.
You know, you get to that level, and at some point, you just got to leave us little small guys behind.
No, come on, man. Look, for the Austin thing in particular, I'm going to be very much a very small fish in a very large ocean. So I'm not really sure what to expect.
Like a guppy, as it were. A pipe-smoking guppy.
Well, the thing that I'm excited about is that Austin and New Orleans, you know, I think back to kind of our earliest days of this podcast, we had kind of three areas that just organically ended up kind of like wrapping themselves around
us.
Right,
yeah.
And that's the Austin pipe community, the New Orleans pipe community, and then also the Michigan pipe community.
Grand Rapids,
that's
yeah, right. And that whole Michigan area. Really funny how that's worked out. You know, of course, we've developed some other centers of activity since then. I know we've got several folks in the Seattle
the
area,
West Coast,
you know, San Francisco area, different places. But man, it's kind of interesting to hear you say that now. I've never really thought about that. Those have always been kind of three really critical areas for us.
Absolutely,
so,
man.
That'll be fun, man.
So hopefully there'll be a chance to get a meet up with some of you guys that are out that way. And meet up, smoke pipe, and hang out. All right, man. So we've got a great show that we're talking about tonight. A little history lesson here.
That's right.
Those that have been listening to the podcast for quite some time know that you are, I would say that you're a history buff. You're definitely someone who is a fan of history.
I'm a fan of history. I have enough unread history books on my shelf to give you the impression that I'm a history buff. So, and that's what's really important is that I appear that way.
Yeah, well, you know, right. that is part of it. But no, see, this is the thing. We've got a topic that definitely dives into the history of pipes and pipe tobacco, specifically Native American practices and the history that exists there.
Yeah.
Now, this was actually a topic that was requested from a club member. This was actually sent in from club member Mark VV.
Yeah.
And this was also echoed by a lot of club members. This was a topic they wanted to see. So the history of pipes and pipe tobacco in the Native American culture.
Yeah. Kind of cool. Of course, you can't really talk about the history of pipe smoking or tobacco in general without, you know, discussing the influence of the Native Americans. This is, you know, obviously where the Western world kind of gets its appreciation and the use initially from tobacco products. And so, you know, I think it's always a good idea to kind of pay attention to that heritage and that legacy. And also as Americans, you know, who have this Native American population still here that we love to honor and revere. You know, it's very much tied up with the history of our nation, both the Native Americans and tobacco. So, history of tobacco with the Native Americans, the smoking practices that they have. We have these caricatures in our mind, right? Mm. We've kind of got this Native American Indian big feathered headdress smoking a peace pipe, maybe with some pilgrims or something, you know, and it's funny to think about, you know, the evolution of that mental image of, you know, kind of where that's come from. I've got right here what you might think of as kind of a caricatured caricatured pipe. This is probably a pipe that was purchased maybe at a gas station or something. You know, you kind of think of this. I'm holding, for those listening, holding a kind of a ridiculous looking pipe. It's real long. It's got a bunch of beads on it, and obviously it would probably be functional if you wanted it to hard enough. But
I like how you said that. It's like a caricature.
Yeah, it's something that we think of kind of in our mind as you know, maybe that's something that it was like. But, you know, tobacco usage for the American Indian was a very serious thing and obviously went back for centuries and centuries and had a lot of different purposes behind it. So what's fascinating, of course, and we've talked about, you know, the history of tobacco at times on Country Squire Radio, and I think we forget how foreign it was for the Europeans when they got to the United States, when they got to, you know, what eventually became America, and saw these people in ingesting smoke. You know, you're smoking a plant, and we forget, I think, how strange that was. It's such a rare way to invest any kind of stimulant or drug or plant or substance or anything is the inhalation of
right.
it. And so this was very foreign to these people.
Never seen this before.
When they came along. And the only places it was really done at all at the world in the world around the 1500s was in Africa and then in the Americas, including the Caribbean. And so, you know, it just kind of blew the Europeans away.
Well, it is interesting, too. I mean, you think about kind of experiencing, you know, cultures or practices practices that you've never seen before and what a foreign concept is.
I mean, yeah.
think about how someone plucked out of time, if they saw us walking around with cell phones, not having any idea what we were doing. Like, they've got these bricks that they're just holding, these little flat bricks that they're just putting up against their face.
Right.
Or, you know, as I like to put it, sometimes, like, think about the first person who discovered that a potato was edible. Think about that. Think about that.
That's true. It's like, I'm going to pull this thing out of the ground.
I'm just going to take a bite out of it. I'm just going to eat this.
It sounds delicious.
And then he bites it, and it's raw, and it's terrible. They're like, no, guys. Let's boil it. I really believe in this thing right here.
If we just boil it, maybe it'll work. Yeah, it's the same kind of thing with tobacco, right? It's like, okay, we're going to take this plant. It's real sticky. If you carry it too long, it makes you feel kind of goofy. And we're going to, you know, we're going to dry it or age it and then set it on fire and breathe it. So it's just a strange thing. But, you know, the tobacco with obviously American populations goes back several thousand years. There's archaeological evidence that tobacco was cultivated by the Native Americans as long as 7,000 years ago. And you think about, you know, the depth of that. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, the Western culture. We kind of view tobacco as the last, you know, 500-600 years, but we're talking 7,000 years ago, particularly in the South American populations. You know, we've got Aztec archaeological evidence that shows that they've were cultivating this that long ago. And so just kind of a fascinating thing. And of course, it developed over time into what the Europeans encountered once they got here. Of course, we talked before on a previous episode about some of the European, you know, discovery, you know, when they came over and started interacting with the Indians and engaging with this tobacco, this smoke breathing, you know, when they went back to Europe and took this back home, the locals in Portugal were so terrified of it, they put the guy in jail. You know, they were like, well, you know, you must be communing with the devil because you're breathing out fire. So, you know, but this was something.
Not much has changed, really.
Yeah, I know. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds kind of familiar. But anyway, so you've got this long cultured history, and of course, the pipe kind of came along with that throughout time. And so, you know, tobacco, of course, can be consumed in a variety of different ways. We all know, of course, pipe smoking. That's what we do here on Country Squire Radio and at the Country Squire. But we've also got cigars, which, if you think about it, is just a rolled up tobacco leaf. Okay, so you've got that way of smoking tobacco. You roll up a bunch of leaves and then smoke them. Tobacco has also, you know, historically been consumed through both chewing tobacco, but also sniffing tobacco. We think of nasal snuff, you know, powdered snuff that maybe you grind up the stems and the tears of the tobacco and come up with some that way that you can you know, just kind of put in your nose or something. So, but the idea of the Native American pipe smoking kind of came along, you know, just as centuries developed, and we're talking probably closer to 1,000 years ago, maybe something like that. The dates are foggy because of just archaeological evidence, but the earliest pipes that we found resembled actually a horn shape, which was flared on one end of the bowl. So think of almost, you know, today we have these cigar pipes that are real popular. An occasional sponsor of the show is the Missouri Meerschaum, you know, Chris Morgan cigar cob, you know, where you've kind of got one end that comes to a taper and the cob kind of flares out. And the other end is just, you know, a hollow end where you can shove the tobacco in. I think the earliest pipes that were developed by the Native Americans looked a lot like that.
Huh.
So you had these horn-shaped pipes that, you know, typically were made of things at the time like wood. There's a pipe stone that's real common up in the American Midwest.
A pipe stone?
Yeah, it's called catlinite. And catlinite's kind of a pink stone. And you'll see a lot of these older American Indian pipes that are made of this stuff. Actually,
oh, wow.
One of our customers, a good friend, Dan, that comes in the shop, he actually is from Minnesota and brought a huge chunk of this pipe stone in one time. He actually gave it to two and was like, here, make some pipes out of this. But,
oh, wow.
But that is from his hometown, which was kind of cool. So, you know, you had different materials that were kind of developing, but those earliest pipes kind of had the horn shape.
It is interesting. So when you say horn, you really do mean almost like a French horn, right? That's the one that's straight.
Yeah, or almost like a, you would think of that cornucopia kind of look, you know.
Oh, like, so almost, yeah, like a calabash? No, well, cornucopia still.
Yeah, just kind of flares out.
Gotcha.
You know, just a horn-shaped pipe, you know, which we see, you know, sometimes today.
Gotcha.
So eventually this kind of evolved Of course, you've got, you know, the idea that a bowl of a pipe would probably, you know, enable the tobacco to stay lit easier and longer and probably be a little easier on your palate and things like that. And so the Plains Indians, these are, you know, people that were kind of in that, you know, Midwest, you know, kind of Kansas, Iowa area. They started experimenting with things like stone and then, you know, attaching a long wooden stem to the end of the pipe. So, you know, you've got stone or maybe a piece of hollowed out wood, and then you just drill a little hole in the side, or, you know, and then take like a reed or a stick or something that's hollow and actually attach that to the end of it.
Huh.
And so what you're doing is kind of creating this, you know, a contraption that is going to enable you to keep the tobacco lit easier, but also extend the smoking range of it. So the smoke has farther to go. Which, frankly, makes the smoke a little cooler, which is something we talk about in today's Churchwarden pipes.
I can't imagine smoking something with, like, a stone bowl. I mean, I guess to some extent...
That's a clay pipe.
I was about to say, that's a clay pipe. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Absolutely. So the stone of this, you know, you think that it became more indicative of, you know, Eastern United States, what we now call the United States, Eastern American Indians, their pipes were more like that. So I've actually got a couple here that have been at home in the Country Squire for many years, a couple of old clay pipes. And these are actually original pipes. You can see the dirt still in them from where they were, you know, came out of the ground decades ago. One of our customers years ago was a someone that dealt in some of the Native American mounds here around Mississippi.
Yeah,
and so occasionally would, you know, come across some of these treasures, and these are just little clay bowls that you know, were real common during the period. And you know, what you would do is insert like a reed or a stick, a hollowed out stick into this you know, bowl, and that was your pipe.
That's
so
incredible. Okay.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
So I mean, like, you know, it's almost like this little stone pot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's kind of, you know, I mean, but it is, I mean, it's a pipe, but
that's right.
I don't know, something about it just makes me kind of think of like a little kind of like a planting pot, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Like the terracotta, you know, that stuff you put geraniums in.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because in my head, you're talking about stone, I'm thinking like this big rock. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, exactly.
Almost like Flintstones type situation.
Yeah,
like,
but I mean, we're talking about, you know, a clay that, you know, was probably, you know, molded and fired. I'm not a potter, but, you know, you kind of get the idea. They shaped it in the, you know, kind of way that they wanted it.
This is so cool.
In this cases, they even put some designs on it and then fired it up, and it just over time became harder and harder and more durable.
How bad do you want to smoke this?
Pretty bad.
I mean, like,
yeah,
you don't want to ruin it.
Of course, these have been in the shop for a very long time.
Well,
you know? and that's the thing. You want to be careful with them, but you know they are, though. I mean, they're just treasures and pieces of history. And so you had pipes like this. Of course, the clay, wood, alabaster. When you got kind of out more towards the American West, alabaster is a sediment or a stone that is mined. It's turned often into plaster, and they would use the alabaster to make beautiful pipes. And then also, of course, the pipestone, the catlinite that we talked about earlier. So the pipes themselves were really cool. Of course, pipe smoking had kind of this religious significance, right, to the Native Americans. So it was an enjoyable thing at some times, but it was also, you know, had this religious significance. And so, you know, often the pipes were carved in a certain way in order to kind of, you know, pay homage to whatever the point of the pipe smoking was. So sometimes the pipe itself was carved into like a human effigy, maybe an ancestor or someone that, you know, when they're smoking the pipe, they wanted to honor.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Matter of fact, a lot of times they would carve the face of the individual into the pipe. And what I found interesting, sometimes they would actually, when they carved the pipe, instead of the face facing out, the face would face in towards the pipe smoker.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
While they were smoking the pipe and the smoke was kind of rising, the idea was you're kind of communing with your ancestor through
this. Wow,
so really, really fascinating and something that, you know, is kind of foreign to us today, certainly in the Western world. But yeah, a lot of times you'd have these pipes carved into the images of animals, which would symbolize kind of the, like a guardian spirit of, you know, maybe you or your family or something like that, which is interesting. And so, and then sometimes, you know, the, the pipe was carved into kind of that, you know, animal character or human character that was a part of your family that you kind of just wanted to honor or commune with. So, so anyway, a lot of interesting, you know, practices there.
It's interesting because, like, you know, I think about when I think of kind of different shapes from that kind of artistic level, right? Like the detail of a face or an animal or something of that nature. It almost seems like that has experiencing some kind of renaissance, especially kind of in the age that we live in, right? The Instagram age and that sort of thing,
yeah,
where people are showing off that kind of detail. But it's almost like there was, that was part of the Native American culture, part of the Native American pipes. And of course that the popularity with the Native Americans was kind of picked up by the colonists and brought back to Europe. And then it got very streamlined and kind of lost some of that artistic nature.
And now as it's becoming more of a craftsman style thing today that we see more and more, particularly with American carvers and hobbyists and things, you're seeing a lot of, maybe a throwback to some of that.
Yeah.
I saw just the other day a pipe online. It was in one of the online communities I'm on, but they'd taken a piece of briar and they made a perfect image of Albert Einstein with this piece of briar. And so, of course, we're used to seeing that in things like meerschaum, but, you know, for you to take wood and do that, and, I almost want to take that Albert Einstein pipe and, maybe I could have the carver turn it around and look at me just while I'm puffing it and maybe glean some wisdom, you know.
Yeah, just stare deeply into the eyes of Albert Einstein as you poke his way. And that'd be interesting.
It's kind of a fascinating idea. But the ritual of smoking the pipe itself, was of course it varied, and you know, we think about, you know, Westerners, we think a lot of times about the Native American population as kind of a unit, but there's, you know, as we can think, if you're honest with yourself, it's so much more diverse than that, obviously. Mm-hmm. There were so many nations and cultures and languages and religions and unique histories that were involved in each area of our continent. And so, you know, each tribe had its own practices. So a lot of times, though, what was common is you would see when they would smoke the pipe at the beginning of the ceremony, they would actually offer and offer plumes of smoke in all the different directions. So you've got like north, south, east, and west, kind of to almost to honor the spirits of each different direction.
Huh.
It's kind of interesting. So imagine kind of seasoning an area with pipe smoke in all the different directions just to make sure everything's kind of covered, which is kind of fascinating. So the plumes of smoke that came out were actually in some sense thought to be kind of almost a vehicle for the prayers of whoever the individual was smoking. So think of like, it almost being like the envelope that you're sending your prayers off into as the smoke kind of distributes into the atmosphere. It's becoming one with, you know, whatever spirit you're communing with, which is kind of fascinating. So, and another thing to think about too is the tobacco varied per region as well. And so, you've got different types of tobaccos, obviously, throughout the United States being smoked, based on, you know, just whatever the crop was that was indigenous to that area. But then also, depending on who they were, you know, kind of, you know, honoring or communing with, they would use different herbs in the mix of tobaccos to kind of impart maybe different smells or different strengths to the mixture, things like that. So, if we wanted to maybe commune with the spirit of Sherlock Holmes, we'd put in a lot more Latakia than if we wanted to commune with maybe the spirit of Bo York. So, like that.
I don't know what you put in. I don't know what you put in for Bo York. I can't think of anything.
Probably some Fruit Loops. I don't know.
No, come on. No, not at all.
Or maybe some bean fruit coffee. But but anyway.
Use the code CSR. No, I'm sorry.
That's right. But those are some ideas of just kind of how it went down. Of course, we always think of when we think of Native American pipe smoking and culture, we think of the idea of the peace pipe, right? And it's something like, oh, well, you know, they had this peace pipe and, you know, it was a symbol of peace. And of course, that came along because when they interacted with the Europeans, the Europeans kind of picked up this significance of the pipe. Anytime there was a treaty or an important political decision or any type of ceremony, there was always this pipe involved. And so the idea of the peace pipe kind of became a thing to the Europeans. But really the pipe was used in a lot of different ceremonial ways. You know, it was a sign and seal of a treaty. It would be used in the form of, you know, recognizing a peace with another culture. It would be used also even when they declared war with another culture. So it was kind of just this almost a marker where you throw down a gauntlet. It's like, okay, this is, you know, we're smoking this pipe because this is an important event kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, if they elected a new leader in their tribe or made some kind of, you know, political decision for their community that was very important, they wanted to mark it with the pipe. And I think that's pretty special. So anyway, but that's kind of the 30,000 foot view of, you know, the history of pipes and pipe smoking with the Native Americans. And, you know, obviously that, you know, carries on through today. We see these kind of kitschy pipes that we buy at the, you know, maybe the park, that we go to, the, what do you call it? The gift shop.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but, and, you know, maybe some of them have some, you know, tie to historical fact, but, a lot of times they just made pipes out of what they could. I've got this really cool pipe. This Powhatan pipe that has been in the Country Squire for years and years. This is a clay pipe. It's got a beautiful image of a what looks like a duck or maybe a swan.
Yeah, kind of a goose situation.
Or a goose, yeah. And the goose is actually the bowl of the pipe. And so,
but it, like you said,
it's facing back
it's
towards
facing
the smoker.
Facing back, yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. So,
I had a hard time picturing that when you were describing it before.
Yeah.
And so we'll need to take a picture
we'll
of this.
We'll take a photo of a couple of these things and put them out there. But this is an artifact that was donated to the Country Squire many years ago. And just kind of gives
you. It belongs in a museum.
It probably does. But but our shop kind of is
a museum. I was about to say, but it's technically.
We basically are a museum. You know, it's just really kind of interesting. So just a lot of neat history there. And obviously we wouldn't enjoy the tobaccos and the pipes that we do today without the legacy of the American Indian.
Yeah, man. This is a great study, Professor. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
That's awesome, man.
See me after class.
Well, look, it's great kind of diving into the history of pipes and just kind of the idea of using whatever you can, be it clay, stone, wood, or of course, fine quality corn cobs like the corn cob pipes you can get from
Missouri
Meerschaum.
That's right.
Now, man, you're actually smoking a Missouri Meerschaum pipe tonight.
I am. I'm smoking the Dagner Poker. Our friend Jason Dagner collaborated with the folks at Missouri Meerschaum to just make a really awesome pipe. It's real iconic. Of course, the poker is one of the most popular shapes in pipe smoking today. It's just got kind of a cylindrical, tall chamber with a nice angled shank that comes out and a really high quality acrylic mouthpiece, which is great. They've also improved on it by just putting a really classy metal band there at the end of the shank.
Yeah.
So just a really, really nice looking pipe. It's always stained very well. It's a finished pipe. It's got kind of a black stain on the outside of the cob and a tall bowl, so you'll get a nice size smoke out of it. To show you just how versatile these corn cobs are, I'm actually smoking our whatever blend in this cob right now.
Are you really?
And whatever, just to let you know, for those listening, our whatever blend, you can actually order it on our website. We sell it for peanuts, but the whatever blend is the scraps after we, you know, get done blending tobacco. A lot of times, you know, whoever's behind the counter will have this leftover tobacco. We'll throw it in the whatever bowl.
Uh-huh.
And it's just whatever, you know. So it just gets mixed up, and it is what it is.
It's a gumbo of pipe tobacco.
Every puff will be totally different. And this Missouri Meerschaum Dagner Poker, it makes that whatever taste pretty good.
Tastes like whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be good. You don't know. Man, I want to do a tobacco talk on the whatever.
We should. Yeah, that'd be great.
But we will say this, man. That's a beautiful pipe from the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum. If you have not picked up a Dagner Poker, you absolutely should. It's a very unique style, as John David said. And it's a great way, by the way, if you have your Dagner Poker from Missouri Meerschaum, smoke it this week. Take a picture. Tweet it out. We'll retweet that out. It's a great way to show the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum. Thank you for supporting this show and making it happen.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, so it's appropriate As we jump into the pipe question of the week.
Yeah.
That we're jumping from talking about corncob pipes. Because the pipe question of the week, it kind of deals a little bit in corncob pipes. It's a great question that's asked from Peter Lambrecht.
Yeah.
And Peter writes,
I think it's
in,
Lambrecht.
Anyway, well, of course it is. That's part and partial for the show.
I know.
Of course
Peter's part of the club now. You know, you've got to butcher his name.
Like, sorry, brother. But Peter does ask a great question, which is, what are different techniques for cleaning a corncob pipe versus a briar pipe?
Yeah, pretty interesting. I always feel like interacting, cleaning a corncob pipe, you almost have to go take a varied approach. It's almost like you halfway treat it like a briar and you halfway treat it like a meerschaum, right? It's a Missouri meerschaum. So, you've got this idea of a, it's a cob. It is going to retain some flavor similarly to a briar. You are invariably going to build some cake. And occasionally, if it lasts long enough, it's probably going to require some reaming. But at the same time, you want it to you want to treat this kind of delicately. I mean, we're talking about a vegetable here that we're smoking out of. And so, a lot of times what I tell folks to do is, again, just like you would with any pipe, when you get done smoking it, take your pipe cleaner, turn it into a U-shape and throw it in there and just kind of twist it around. And that, on a very good regular maintenance, will keep your cake where it kind of needs to be. If your cake does start to get big in your cob, you can ream it. But again, almost in this case, you want to kind of veer towards how you would treat a meerschaum. You want to be so careful because the cob in itself is very fragile. So again, you'll clean it similarly to how you would do a briar pipe. You don't want to use a lot of liquid cleaner on a corncob pipe. Again, we're talking about a vegetable here, so that's not as quite as durable as a briar. So just be sure, the more you use your corn cob, you want to clean it more regularly. That's just something that that comes with the territory. Also, a lot of corn cob pipes, particularly those from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum, they have filters that they use. So the Dagner Poker I've got here does not use a filter, but a lot of corn cob pipes, the Legend, for instance, the Huck Finn, I believe, some of these pipes, a lot of them, Country Gentlemen, they use the paper filters that you might get from Medico or Dr. Graybo. And so when you're using your pipe often, it's one thing to leave the filter in there, but if you're going to put your pipe down for an extended period of time, you're going to want to take that filter out, because if you've got a wet filter kind of sitting in that pipe for any length of time, it's just going to do nothing but cause problems, sitting inside that kind of fragile frame. So clean your pipe often, take that filter out if it's going to be idle for a while, and you can ream it if you get to the point where it needs it, but you need to be really, really careful. I think the preventative measure on that, each time you're done smoking your pipe, you want to take your pipe cleaner and just give the inside of the chamber a really nice swab, and I think that'll get you down the road a long way.
Absolutely, man. Great question, Peter. We appreciate you sending that in. Hey, if you got a pipe question a week, you can send it in too. It's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire question.
Ow! All right, man. These come in from Pop Punk Sushi on thispipelife.com. One of the most awesome handles that I have seen. Great folks over at thispipelife.com. More about that in a moment. But first, Pop Punk Sushi has his questions that he would like us to answer here, and they are Cajun themed.
Ooh, Cajun themed. Is right. We'll bring heat. In this week, what is it?
It's
tomorrow.
Mardi Gras.
Is tomorrow Fat Tuesday?
Are we just now talking about this? Yes. Yeah.
Tomorrow's
that's
Fat Tuesday.
Fat
and of course, Ash Wednesday is Wednesday.
But, man, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, more on that later.
Yeah, right? That's right. All right. So in honor.
Cajun theme.
Unintentionally in honor of Mardi Gras, Cajun theme. Boudin or Cracklins?
Cracklins.
Boudin.
Boudin grosses me out.
What?
I don't know.
It's the blood, isn't it?
I have trouble with all these things, really. What I mean, not all these things, but I'm going to go with Cracklins.
Sorry, all of these things,
just,
sir?
No, just the two in this situation. But I'm going to go with Cracklins.
All right. I'm definitely going to go with Boudin here.
At least it's deep fried.
Jambalaya, red or brown?
Red, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to go with red as well.
Yeah, I think red.
Yeah, keep it spicy.
Yeah.
Gumbo, seafood and okra, or chicken and sausage.
Seafood and okra every day of the week. I think there is a place for chicken and sausage gumbo, but there's something about a seafood gumbo that, if it's done right, is hard to beat.
Yeah. Oh, can the answer be yes, please? Because both of these are fantastic. You know, I think I've mentioned on the show, if I haven't, I'm working on.
You're kind of a big deal in the gumbo world.
Well, no,
I'm just saying. You have won some awards.
Just one international gumbo.
Best of show.
Festival.
What?
Yeah. No, whatever. Right. It's fine. But no. I am actually working for the next time we compete on a new recipe for a oyster and smoked turkey gumbo.
Oh, wow.
I think will be fantastic once I get it right.
Smoked turkey?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But you had to choose seafood or chicken?
Seafood.
Okay.
Seafood and okra.
Okay.
All right. Shrimp, fried or boiled?
Fried.
This is no competition, and you went the wrong way, sir. No, it is boiled. Are you kidding
me?
I'm
thinking like a po' boy.
Like a shrimp boil, son.
No, okay, shrimp boil. I got it. Yeah. I was thinking more like sautéed or something, but no, big old shrimp boil. Like, yeah,
get your potatoes, your corn, throw in your mushrooms, get your sausage. Oh.
Yeah, can I change my answer?
Yes.
I want to go with boiled.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, Tony Sacheres or Slap Your Mama?
Tony Sacheres.
Tony.
I love Tony Sacheres.
Hey, it makes a good food, tastes great. Tony. Yeah, I'm bad. You got to go with Tony. Slap Your Mama's fine. But I mean, if Tony's is there, there's really no other option.
Yeah.
So, great.
I wonder if any other parts of the country, do people even follow any of this? Like, I'm wondering, does someone in New England know what boudin is?
You know, it's funny. I saw one of these videos where it was like Americans trying Southern food for the first time.
Right.
You know, like people who are not from the South trying Southern food. It's the same thing with Cajun food, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, you know, like, like cracklins or like, collard greens.
What did Jim Gaffigan say? He was like, the South won't rise again, literally, because they eat biscuits and gravy. Like if I ate biscuits and gravy, I'm not even getting up to go to the bathroom. Like,
man, no.
Fair enough.
Cajun food is fantastic. You got to get some of that Cajun food.
It's pretty good.
Great quick fire questions. Of course, those are sent in over the forums at thispipelife.com from Pop Punk Sushi.
Yep.
I just love saying that name. Y'all give Pop Punk Sushi a shout out when you go over there, and you should check out thispipelife.com. And it's an awesome online community. They've got their amazing forums. They've got photos. It's a very gorgeous online experience. And, you know, we've been talking about these last several episodes. They've gotten even more social. You can now find them on Facebook at facebook.com/thispipelife. You can also find them twitter.com/thispipelife and instagram.com/thispipelife.
Their Instagram feed is wonderful, you know, because they pick up, obviously, on all the incredible stuff that folks are contributing throughout the thispipelife.com community. And so every single day, I saw today some packages from Gaywith and Hogarth that were photographed and featured on thispipelife.com. And it was just, it just made me want to go buy 10 immediately. It was great. So yeah, I encourage you to check out into all their social media things that they've got going.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right. Listen to feedback this week. Here we go. Starting out, we actually have a PSA, or a PMSA, as it might be. this comes in from Orlando, Florida, somewhere off in Disney World. Yes, this is coming in from a Mr. Brian Levine. I'm not sure I know who that is.
I think he's a doctor of pipes in someone's book.
That can't be a thing.
But if he's in Orlando, Florida, we know he's probably at Disney World.
Now, this PSA is coming in right here. It says, the only dwarf to ever shave his beard was Dopey.
Wow. So does that make you Dopey?
I don't know.
I would have to say, you know, I think though, and I'm speaking for Brian, but I think he would agree, you know, if you probably are one of his favorite dwarves.
You think so?
Yeah.
Is it true, Brian?
I would think so.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that to the bank, my friend.
Yeah,
no, of course, Brian Levine of Pipes Magazine, enjoying some well-deserved vacay over in Disney World.
Yeah,
he's
man.
Actually sending in some pictures tonight. He was telling me earlier today he was hanging out with Chewbacca and Kylo Ren.
And it's awesome, man. Yeah. Golly.
So, I love, by the way, that Star Wars and Disney, like I was nervous about it at first, but now I love the fact that like,
they've handled it well.
Yeah, they've done a great job there. Yep. We also, you know, as part of the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club, you know, for kind of the founders launch and everything that we had going on with that, we gave away some wonderful drawings, some great gifts. And one of the winners, Parson Rick, is a man, he's a big YouTuber, and he has sent in kind of a thank you video where he essentially kind of not necessarily unboxes, but smokes the pipe, gives his feedback on it. It's a really great video, and you know, kind of goes into some things that are going on with him. And just want to say, Parson Rick, man, welcome to the club. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, and we really appreciate you giving us a shout out and representing the club well.
Absolutely.
We also have on YouTube from Padre Piper. What did Padre Piper say?
Padre Piper, he says, as a Big Easy Piper, I'm assuming he's talking about New Orleans, I invite you to annex us in the Magnolia Pipe Club.
All right.
Happy IPST.
Let's talk about this for a second.
I don't know about that.
The general consensus, by the way, and this is good because we have not just John David Cole and here present, but behind the camera, you can't see him, folks, but the
and
president.
In the live audience, we have the president of the Magnolia Pipe Club.
We've got the president of the Magnolia Pipe Club present in the room right now. And so, Mr. President, what I would like to say to you, sir, is that the people of New Orleans, the pipe smokers of New Orleans, are crying out for liberation. I'm saying we need to go and invade. I mean, what do you do when you go in and take it?
Conquer.
We need to conquer. No, that's not good.
Annex.
We need to go on a diplomatic mission of mercy to
Alderaan, right.
to help out the good folks over at the New Orleans Pipe Club. They're asking for us. Like, they are literally asking for us to take them over. I'm just saying.
Man, we believe in those people down there.
They're
but,
awesome.
But we're open to it. I'm just kidding.
well, I'll bring it up at the next pipe meeting again.
There you go.
I still think that we should award emergency military powers to a new position in the pipe club that I created and nominate myself for. And we also, we got some major feedback.
Yeah.
Last week I mentioned that I got a chance with Caleb the intern to play some D&D.
Yeah.
For the first time. First time for me. Caleb's a big D&Der. Man, we got a lot of love on YouTube specifically about the D&D. We got Kilgore Trout. You want to read what Kilgore said?
Yeah. Kilgore says, I would love to play D&D again. Two of my grown kids would, but have in time and but haven't. Let's see. Two of my grown kids would, but haven't the time, and I do not know enough others to get the game going. I have always been stuck as a DM. I would like to be a player instead. That's from Kilgore.
The DM is the person who's telling you what's going on.
Okay, it's kind of like a narrator.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah, okay. Like they're omnipotent, okay. And they're kind of walking you through the story.
Okay, okay.
All right, and then also Charles Hibbs wrote in and said, I love playing D&D. My wife, daughter, and her boyfriend, and a couple of their friends play every Sunday. I get a lot of pipe smoking from Tolkien, thank you. And that, of course, is heavily influenced in the games of D&D. It's a fun hobby. My daughter and I build props and paint figures. And that, again, is Charles Hibbs.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, it's a fun thing. All right, so, you know, it's great to see this kind of feedback. It's kind of sparked me to get kind of an idea of maybe a future show or a future episode that you may or may not be present for.
we'll talk about it. I sense kind of where this is going, but you know, we'll see.
I've already put some feelers out, but we'll see what comes from it. But yeah, man, you know, we got to say thank you, of course, to all of you for sending in your feedback tonight. Now, of course, you already mentioned it, and we kind of probably should have addressed this at the top of the show. But happy Mardi Gras to all of you who are tuning in.
That's right.
You know, we've historically practiced Lent here. Neither of us are particularly Catholic. Although,
that's right.
Is Lent something?
Well, Lent is an Anglican tradition, as it is in many, you know, Protestant circles, but not I guess not really the Presbyterian world, right?
No,
it's more of a, but you kind of adopt it. I mean, you've got the Catholic heritage, and you know, it's just kind of a fun cultural thing, I guess, for both of us.
Well, it's I think there is something.
It's a good spiritual discipline.
I was about to say.
I mean, I like the idea of kind of giving up something, and then you know, as that desire comes around on a regular basis, honoring the Lord with that thing that you've kind of decided to give up. What I don't like is when we constantly complain about it. God, I wish I had some chocolate right now.
But the, you know, you're exactly right. I do think that fasting is a really, really solid
practice.
There's
a biblical principle there, right?
And it's one that, that constantly, I think, you know, in certain circles ends up getting overlooked. And so, especially in Presbyterian circles. So I'm looking forward to it this year. I am kind of curious. What you giving up?
I don't want to talk about it.
Do you not?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I'll talk about it. Okay? I'm giving up bread.
Oh, good.
All bread. Like,
does that include beer?
That includes beer. That includes pasta. Somebody's told me that I'm giving up gluten. That's not necessarily what I intended to do, but apparently that's
okay. But you're giving up bread. But beer isn't bread. But it is. Okay, you're counting beer as bread.
I'm counting beer as bread.
Okay, so for the purposes of your Lenten season, you're giving up bread, including beer.
Yeah, you know that food that we eat and it makes us feel full and warm and good inside?
Yeah.
I'm not going to eat that until...
None of that until Easter.
That being said, this is actually
we'll
bust
out the beer and the seersucker all at the same time. It'll be great.
This is the first year that before I've kind of done Lent hardcore, which is like, you know, all the way through, never taking a break, just fasting the entire way through. With this one, I am going to take breaks on Sundays. So
that's probably wise.
I think that'll be good. But
one of our really great customers here in the shop, he's a local Orthodox priest. We've got a few different clergymen here.
Yeah, quite a few.
That shop at the Squire. Of course, Father Andy, he's a Orthodox priest. And he's like, I just get tired of all my Catholic friends because they take the weekends off and we don't. I thought that was kind of funny.
That's
but
great.
I think it'll be a challenge for you, but that's good.
Well, it's kind of part of my fasting anyway, you know.
Well, the beer will help you with the whole weight loss thing.
Lost
too,
so. 20 pounds since January 1st.
That's good, man. I see more of a jawline there too.
Yeah, that's good. It's coming through.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, part of that is the beard growing back, but right. I'll take it. Well, hey, there is lots of ways that you guys can keep up with us throughout the weeks. Of course, if you find us on Twitter, you can find us. I'm at the real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
Of course, all that information and more can be found at Country Squire Radio, where we do broadcast live. Now, as we mentioned at the top of the show, and just as a reminder right here, we'll be back at the normal time next week for the live show. Then we'll be off for a 2-week live show hiatus. The podcast is not going anywhere, so you will have weekly
content. That show
on the
will
podcast.
Go on.
That's right. And then we will also return after the 2-week hiatus at the brand new time of 8:30 p.m. Central Time. That's March 27th. So if you are someone who has not been able to tune into the live show because it's been too early, if that later hour sounds like something that you are able to do, be sure to mark your calendars. Again, that's March 27th, 8:30 p.m. Central Time. And we hope to see some new faces, some new tweets.
Yeah.
I guess that's more accurate.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So it should be good. Well, all right, man. Well, hey.
Dude, this was fun.
Yeah, history lesson. Got some great pipe tobacco.
Yeah, and apparently Russ Hicks is giving up Latakia for Lent, or maybe just for good.
Okay. Yeah, that might be it. That sounds good. Well, hey, man, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.